Hi guys, this is your host, Oe Zephyr, with your show, Cryptocurrency, the Blockchain, and Life, a podcast by Oe Zephyr. I like to talk about cryptocurrency and tell some stories about myself because I come from a unique background on the Pine Ridge Reservation, home of the Oglala Lakota people. This is my third podcast, 30th actually, but third in my attempt to bring you more information more often. This podcast is dedicated to the insights of cryptocurrencies and investment tips. I hope that all of you are doing beautifully. Let's get started with today's episode. But first, my disclaimer. I am not a financial planner, advisor, nor a certified financial analyst, nor an economist, nor a CPA, nor an accountant, nor a lawyer. I'm not a finance professional through formal education at all. I'm simply a cryptocurrency and blockchain enthusiast. This is for entertainment purposes only. Follow my advice at your own risk. Are you ready? Some good stuff, though. I like it. So let's start with crypto rates. We're going to go into some deep onion stuff. Some, you know, delve deeper into deep onion, an anonymous coin that has a very supportive community. Global AML watchdog to release crypto regulations by next June. So there is a global money laundering watchdog has said it will begin publishing rules for international cryptocurrency regulations by next summer. What else do we got for you today? Crypto exchange Huobi now lets users swap between four different stable coins. And a North Korean hacking group, Lazarus, stole $571 million in cryptos since 2017. Wow, I'm in the wrong business. All right. Excuse me. All right, crypto rates. All the crypto stats about to be mentioned are compiled as of yesterday, a.m. at General Mountain Time. Bitcoin last recorded price yesterday was $6,482. That's a percentage change of 0.42%. Supply at 17 million and market cap at 112 billion. Ethereum, the last recorded price is $207.36. That's a percentage change of 1%. With a supply of 102 million and market cap of 21.31 billion. XRP, the last recorded price is 46 cents. And that's a percentage change of 61% in the last 24 hours with a supply of 39 billion and a market cap of 18.47 billion. Deep Onion, let's touch on that a little bit. Deep Onion, a critical analysis. We're going to cover Deep Onion a little bit further because I saw over the weekend a day or two ago that it went up 7%. I haven't looked into it anymore to see if it went up any further or came back down, but you know, I'm gonna cover kind of what it's about and what it's doing and the community behind it. So let's get started. Deep Onion is another cryptocurrency that has a privacy as its main selling point. Deep Onion is integrated with the Tor network, which is able to encrypt and route traffic around the world through the use of Tor servers. This will allow all of the Deep Onion transactions to remain private and secure. Deep Onion will also use the same technology that has currently been implemented on Zcash, that is zero knowledge proofs. There will also be other services that will be on offer, including the Meek OBFS4 protocols, which will overcome country blocks placed on the Tor network. They also offer the Deep Vault, which will operate as a file notary system. The coin currently uses a hybrid algorithm that is a mixture of POW and POS and uses the X13 hashtag algorithm, proof of stake and proof of work, the POW POS. The tokens were released as an airdrop, and there is no ICO. So a lot of people talk about scams, you know, scams typically, you know, the developers will sell the tokens or the coins in the ICO, raise money, and then cut out. Well, it's been long enough, and I don't think there are known developers right now. I may be wrong. Last I checked, there were no known developers. I don't think anybody has come forward. The developers at Deep Hunting are pseudo, well, they're anonymous, but appear to be relatively active with regular comments. The Onion tokens are really illiquid, with not that much volume moving through the exchanges. This means that the tokens are especially volatile. This privacy-focused cryptocurrency leans heavily on its strong community backing for success. Though this asset has recently taken a tumble thanks to the bear market, there is still a significant number of holders waiting to pick up the rebound. If you're patient, then this could possibly be a good play for you. So, are you patient enough to go for Deep Hunting? I am. I've been planning on getting some. I just haven't yet. Hold it to the moon. A Deep Hunting investment also comes with the benefit of allowing you to earn some monthly income if you're interested in getting started with the proof of stake coins. You can do this on virtually any computer, and it's like a lightweight version of mining. The developers behind this project have lots of great stuff on the roadmap that could lead this coin to success. That includes their new Vote Central initiative, which allows users to help decide on the direction of the project takes. However, one of their most exciting additions will be to add zero-knowledge protocol, which is likely the future of privacy coins. There's no set date for this development, but it is on the roadmap and will likely be available sometime within the next couple of years. If you're interested in what this project has to offer, then now is a good time to start accumulating before the prices rise again. You might be wondering how to buy Deep Hunting. I'm trying to remember the name of the exchange. It just slipped my mind. Cryptopia. Look them up. That's one place to get it. Investors can buy Deep Hunting on a large number of exchanges, making it very convenient for them to make an investment here. Just go to CoinMarketCap, search Deep Hunting, and then look at under the market tab, you know, where to get it. That's what I do. Bitcoin is the highest value trading pair available, but you can also choose to use Ether or Doge if you'd prefer. The trading volume is not substantial, but it is decent enough for you to make a trade quickly and for a good price. In order to store your new coins, you'll need to download the official wallet from the project's website. The developers have created installation packages for most operating systems, and you'll be able to get a wallet for Windows, Mac, or Linux. While they do have mobile wallets as well, it's recommended that you download the desktop client version. This is a staking wallet, and if you don't use the desktop version, then you'll miss out on free coins you would get from staking. After downloading and installing, make sure you encrypt your wallet file with a strong password and create a backup for it in a safe place. Now, is it safe to invest in Onion now? You might be asking yourself this. The Deep Hunting analysis tells us that this asset has an excellent safety rating. While not very old yet, this project has collected a large number of followers thanks to their aggressive airdrop campaign. They've also given out a good deal of rewards for bounties, which have led many to become dedicated followers of the coin. While there has been a swift drop in the price due to the market, there are a number of changes which may soon push that price into another direction. And that, I think that occurred already over the weekend. One of which is block reward halving. This is when the number of onions per block for staking or mining rewards is cut in half. Since mining has a definite cost involved to perform, this usually changes how much those miners are willing to sell their coins for. However, the project may even take a proof of stake only approach, and that will significantly reduce the amount of dumping because holders are rewarded more for having more onions in their wallet. If you invest in Onion, then now is a good time. The price has fallen substantially from the all-time high point, that is, and there's a lot of room for this interesting asset to grow. A community is likely one of the most important aspects of a cryptocurrency's arsenal, and Deep Onion certainly has that. While their Vault Central initiative has not fully come to fruition yet, they are working hard to make sure that it has positive impact on the coin. And if you're interested in gauging the public's opinion of the state of Onion, then you only need to go to the forums and find out how things are going. It's always best to do your own research, and you should never invest your money without completely going over a project's white paper and plans for future development. There are many bumps in the road, even for the best laid out plans. You might have heard my daughter there. I'm at home today recording. Next up on the line, a global money laundering watchdog has said it will begin publishing rules for international cryptocurrency regulation by next summer. According to a Reuters report, the Financial Action Task Force, FATF, the France-based intergovernmental body founded in 1989 to develop policies for tackling money laundering, said that global jurisdiction will have to bring into force licensing schemes or regulations for crypto exchanges and possibly digital wallet providers under the new rules. Companies offering financial services for initial coin offerings will also be included, the report states. The news comes after that FATF plenary meeting this week with officials from 204 global jurisdictions to discuss crypto regulations and other matters. Reuters also reports that FATF's president, Marshall Billingsley, designated June as the month in which the group will begin publishing its guidelines and enforcing expectations. So we're looking a few months down the road, June 2019. He was quoted as saying, "By June, we will issue additional instructions on the standards and how we expect them to be enforced." As reported in July, the G20 member countries had been eyeing an October 2018 deadline for movement on a global anti-money laundering standard around cryptocurrency. Right, G20, right. With the G20 seeking vigilant monitoring of cryptocurrencies, FATF was called on to clarify how its existing AML standards could be applied to cryptocurrency. In a statement released on Friday, the group said that there is an urgent need for all countries to take coordinated action to prevent the use of virtual assets for crime and terrorism. Right. Like the US dollar? Okay. As part of a staged approach, the FATF will prepare updated guidance on a risk-based approach to regulated virtual asset service providers, including their supervision and monitoring and guidance for operational and law enforcement authorities on identifying and investigating illicit activity involving virtual assets, the FATF explained in its missive. All right. So, anti-money laundering laws and regulations coming soon. I grew up on a Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, folks. And if you know anything about the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, know this: home to the Oglala Lakota people. We agreed over, 170 years ago to settle here. So, the trust in the U.S. government, although I'm an Army veteran, the trust in the U.S. government isn't there. So to say that, there's anti-money laundering laws coming for crypto, it's like putting up, a gate on the sidewalk when you can walk around in the grass. You get what I'm saying? A gate on the sidewalk, you can walk around in the grass. You walk around the gate in the grass. All right. Let's move on. Crypto exchange, Huobi. Now lets users swap between four different stable coins. Huobi. The Singapore-based cryptocurrency exchange has just launched a solution that enables users to switch between different types of fiat-pegged cryptocurrencies, or better known as stablecoins, in an event of market fluctuation. So, if you're not familiar with what a stablecoin is, it's usually pegged to a US dollar or some other stable dollar or fiat currency. And, you know, say you sell your Bitcoin for some Ethereum, and both are volatile at the moment. You know, right now, Bitcoin's pretty stable, but there are times when it's not. So if you sell your Ethereum, you know, if you're new to this, I'm just explaining a little bit. You sell your Bitcoin for Ethereum, and Ethereum's starting to drop, and you don't know what to do with your Ethereum you just had. So you could sell your Ethereum for a stable coin. Last week, I talked about Tether, USDT. There's other stable coins. I haven't looked into which stable coins are on Huobi. I'll talk about that a little bit though. So Huobi announced the solution called Huobi. It's HUSD. So I assume it's Huobi USD. So it's pegged to the dollar, the US dollar, at a press conference on Friday. The firm said Paxos, PAX, Trust Tokens, TUSD, Circle's USDC, and Gemini Exchange's GUSD tokens are being supported initially. And it looks like, so those are USD, USD, yeah, you know, three of those anyway, are you all pegged to the US dollar. I'm not sure about Paxos or the Trust Token. I guess Trust Token's TUSD, so that would be two. Paxos is the only one I'm unsure about at the moment. Probably US dollar. Excuse me. Previously, users that deposited, say, GUSD were limited to take out GUSD, that is the Gemini US dollar, or converting it into a non-pegged cryptocurrency such as Bitcoin using HUSD, though they can deposit one of the four stablecoins and withdraw a different stablecoin of their own choice. Huobi's chief operating officer, Robin Zhu, further explained that HUSD is not itself a stablecoin or protocol, but rather a medium that facilitates exchange between different stablecoins. Okay, I see what they're doing here. So it's a medium. It's a coin in the middle that allow you to exchange between different stablecoins. For instance, if a user deposits 10 packs to the exchange, the user's account will be credited 10 HUSD. When withdrawing these assets after trading, the user can choose to withdraw, say, 10 GUSD, which will be drawn from the pool of GUSD that all other users have deposited to the platform. Isn't that getting confusing? Anyway, it stabilizes your money, is what it does. However, whether the user can withdraw all of their assets in a single stablecoin depends on there being a sufficient supply in the pool. So if there's no supply in the pool, obviously there's nothing to withdraw from. Zhu said he expects the platform could potentially run into a situation where a stablecoin may not have a big enough pool to cover all withdrawal requests. In those circumstances, we will buy back those stablecoins from the issuers into the pool, he said. As such, Huobi will not list trading pairs for every stablecoin it supports against major crypto assets such as Bitcoin and Ethereum. Instead, the company will open trading pairs for HUSD against those cryptos in the coming weeks. Notably, the most established stablecoin to date, Tether, one that has been at the center of rumors over the reliability of its US dollar peg, is not included in the pool. Instead, Huobi will open a trading pair of HUSD against USDT on October 22nd. Zhu explained that the primary reason for that is due to the concerns over whether USDT can meet its compliance requirements. He said, Tether doesn't have a reliable and regularly released auditing report to prove its US dollar reserve. Uh-oh, Tether. Looking a little fishy here. As CoinDesk reported in June, Tether did release a document aimed to prove its US dollar reserves, but it was prepared by a law firm, not an independent auditing company. Things aren't looking good, Tether. According to Zhu, HUSD allows users to withdraw the stablecoin asset they considered it is most stable. Since the market has recently seen several assets wavering from their pegged fiat currency's value, the market could see over hundreds of stablecoins in the future, he noted. While we welcome the integration of more regulated stablecoins, we hope the US The use of HUSD could help maintain the stability of this market. We'll be started accepting PAX, TUSD, USDC, and GUSD at 8 UTC on Friday, having announced the move earlier this week. I talked about this next story a little bit last week, but it's so interesting, I'm going to hit it again. North Korean hacking group Lazarus stole $571 million in cryptos since 2017. North Korea's infamous hacking group, dubbed Lazarus, has managed to steal over $500 million in cryptocurrencies, a report indicates. According to an article published Friday by The Next Web, the coming annual report from the cybersecurity vendor group IB sets out that Lazarus was behind 14 hacks on crypto exchanges since January 17, reaping a massive $571 million from the attacks. The news backs up claims from the officials in South Korea, who said in February that North Korean hackers likely stole tens of millions of dollars worth of cryptocurrencies in 2017. As reported by CoinDesk, the country's National Intelligence Service said that phishing scams and other criminal methods had yielded tens of billions of won in customer funds. Authorities were also probing whether the same hackers were behind the January hack of CoinCheck Exchange, which saw over $500 million in cryptocurrency taken, though Lazarus wasn't specifically mentioned. More generally, Group IB also indicates that $882 million in cryptocurrency was stolen from exchanges in total from 2017-2018, according to a summary of the report obtained by tech news sources. The security provider said that the number of attacks targeting crypto exchanges is likely to rise further, with hackers of more traditional financial institutions such as banks being drawn to the space seeking big gains. The summary also looks at the methods used by the hackers in order to carry out their attacks, saying spear phishing, social engineering, and malware are the most widespread tools of illicit trade. That brings up an interesting point. Get yourself a cold wallet, you know, or a paper wallet, or a Ledger Nano S, and secure your cryptocurrencies if they can be secured on the Ledger Nano. Otherwise, you know, a device that is solely dedicated to storing cryptocurrencies offline. Get what I'm saying? Maybe the only time it accesses the internet is whenever it's making the trade or something like that. You know, if you have to have it on a hot wallet. So, you know, but there's risks there, because anytime your wallet hits the internet, there's risk that malware could attack it. So, all right. TNW cited the report as saying that spear phishing targeted individuals or organizations with malware delivered via an email attachment is the major vector of attack on enterprise networks, it adds. After the local network is successfully compromised, the hackers browse the local network to find stations and servers used working with private cryptocurrency wallets. Furthermore, says Group IB, hackers have made off with 10% of the funds raised by ICO platforms since early 2017, with phishing the most common means of attack. The firm reportedly suggests that over-keen investors have been rushing to participate in token sales without paying sufficient attention to their security, often falling foul of the tricks such as fake websites, for example. One such fake targeted would be investors in the major ICO launched by Telegram, as reported in March. Group IB further warns that mining pools could prove a tempting target for hackers, saying bad actors could employ 51% attacks to take over networks, as has happened in a number of crypto projects this year. Well, guys, this is it for today's podcast. Tune in on Friday for the next episode of Amazing Cryptocurrency Updates and Tips. Let me know what you liked and what you would want to be improved. Your feedback will be a great help and will allow me to tailor my podcast to more devoted to your suggestions. Don't forget to subscribe to my podcast and my social handles, OZ Inspires. You can find me at OZ Inspires on Instagram and Twitter. And, you know, in order to stay updated about every changing crypto financial environment and anything you know, with my podcast. If you go back to February when I started this podcast, you'll see, you know, I started this podcast with kind of a motivational self-improvement type thing, but I like talking about cryptocurrency too, so that's where I started going with it. Getting the most support with the cryptocurrency, and of course, you know, changing yourself is tough work. It's one of the hardest things you will have to do if you want to self-heal from life's traumas. So that being said, you know, that doesn't get much support in here, and the cryptocurrencies are taking off. So I gear this more towards cryptocurrency, and every now and again I'll tell a little bit of stories about, you know, myself and where I come from. But next week, sometime next week in the next episode or two, I'm going to talk about using the blockchain and cryptocurrencies for development in, how do I say this? For improving economies in a developing country. And more specifically, improving economies in Native American communities, which have been compared to third world countries. Now, are they? No, I don't think so. But some say that's the case. So stay tuned next week. You check out my podcast coming up. The next one's coming on. I'll try to get it out Friday morning. As you're going to work, you can give it a listen. Then I'm looking at Fridays and Mondays. So stay with me. Subscribe and support. Thank you.